I hope after all these years of listening to me that you are clear that there is no moment in any of the four Gospels when Jesus says to his disciples, "Believe these following five things about me." No, what Jesus says is, "Follow me." In today's epistle, it's not said that Christians ought to know about love or believe in love. It is said that we are to love. In today's gospel, Christ does not say that we are to think about him or believe things about him. Rather, he says we are to abide in him, to live in him, with him. We are to follow, to do what he did, to live in the world as he lived. There's nothing more important in the world than following Jesus. So Christianity is not a set of beliefs, first principles, or propositions. It's a matter of discipleship, of following. Faith is not beliefs about Jesus. It's willingness to follow Jesus. The faith is in the following. We make a mistake if we turn this into some kind of mystery. Jesus didn't demand that we swallow seven philosophical absurdities in order to be with him. He asked us to follow him. Faith in Jesus is not first a matter of agreeing with Jesus or having felt something or having had some experience. It's a simple willingness to stumble along behind Jesus, a willingness to take your place with him. The faith is in the following. Therefore, there's no need to be fuddled when someone asks you a simple question, "Are you a Christian?" It's an easy question, a freebie. The answer isn't a matter of having your head straight about the meaning of the atonement. The scripture does not demand that you cite some inner philosophical validation. The answer is simply to say, "Yes, I'm trying my best to follow Jesus. I am his apprentice, his disciple." The faith is in the following. If you ask someone, "Are you a carpenter?" there's no need for hesitation. You may not be the world's best carpenter or the most experienced woodworker in the country, but you are a carpenter. You may have only been a carpenter for a couple of weeks or for 30 years, but the evidence that you are or are not a carpenter is simple and self-evident. Disciplining your life, disciple comes from the word discipline, disciplining your life to the skills, the insights, the practices of carpentry, case closed. If you're asked, "Are you a really good carpenter?" well, then there might be more hesitation. You're growing as a carpenter. You're not perfect. But the hesitation doesn't mean you're not a real carpenter. Really, the hesitation shows that you are a true disciple of carpentry and know that you are still growing, still on the way, still being perfected in the tools of the trade. A beginning carpenter is still a carpenter. How often in the Gospels do you hear Jesus criticizing, chastising his disciples? How often is he exasperated that they don't get the point? They fail to understand. They fall behind. Jesus' criticism of them doesn't mean they're not real disciples. It means they're still in process. They're on the way. If they had not committed themselves to follow Jesus, if they weren't linked to him in this way, there'd be no need for correcting. Faith doesn't mean that they've arrived. It means that they're on the way. A person who wants to be a carpenter has to apprentice himself to a master carpenter, mind the moves, instill the practices, being attentive to the ways of the trade, willing to be critiqued by the master until the apprentice becomes what the master is and does. And surely that's what Jesus means when he says to his disciples, "Follow me." I once participated in a discussion where the people were asked, "When did you become a Christian?" And people took turns sharing some rather dramatic accounts of how they'd been converted into the Christian faith. Some recalled soul-stirring hair-raising moments when their lives were dramatically disrupted by an infusion of the grace of God and they decided to follow. But one man, with more than a bit of hesitation in his voice, said, "I can't remember when I wasn't a Christian. I was put here as a child. I've been here from the get-go." My point is that the quality of our imitation, the skill of our apprenticeship, the way we got on with the journey with Jesus is the crucial matter. The crucial matter is that we are on the way. We're not here because of our extraordinary spiritual insight. We're not here because of the holiness or superiority of our lifestyle. We're not here because we agree with the Nicene Creed. But rather, as Jesus put it on one occasion, "Remember now, you didn't choose me, I chose you. Now go bear fruit." And that's a great comfort, because I don't know about you, but I don't always act like a Christian. I don't always think like a Christian. My faith rests on something Jesus has done rather than something I've got to do. You see, I'm just following. Wherever you are, whatever you do, you are a disciple of Jesus. Clergy aren't the only Christian ministers. Following Jesus isn't a matter of learning to do a few religious things on top of the things we do, but it's a matter of doing all that we do, whatever that is, for Christ. That's surely why Jesus' parables are stories about real life. He teaches about matters like forgiveness and anger and generosity and injustice and disappointment, the stuff of real life, because surely he meant us to follow him in this life and not some other life. So in today's gospel, Jesus commands us to abide in him, to be as much a part of him as a branch is to a vine. We are to live in him, cling to him, be part of him, have his life flow through us. And in the epistle for this morning, 1 John says, "By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he's given us his Spirit." You will be able to look at a Christian's life and see evidence of the Spirit. You'll be able to know that the love we show is a gift of the Spirit in which we abide. The proof is in the pudding. The faith is in the following. As 1 John says, those who say, "I love God," but then fail to live in a loving way are kidding themselves as well as everybody else. Who cares about their alleged values? The test is how they live their lives, not what they say about their belief or name as their values. The faith is in the following. I know a hairdresser who, after a day of cutting people's hair for money, goes out to a hospital for the mentally ill and cuts hair for free in the evening. He told me a friend of his is an accountant who, after a long day of serving people's financial needs for money, goes out at night and hangs out in local bars hoping to pick up women. Both men, the barber and the accountant, are apprentices, people attached to some larger vision of what life is about, why we've been put here. One is attached to Jesus. The other is attached to self-gratification. So the most interesting question to ask is not the abstract question, "What do you believe in?" but the more concrete question, "Who are you following?" Faith is in the following. The world is right in judging Jesus on the basis of the lives he produces. The only proof we have, the acid test for the validity of the gospel, is whether or not it's capable of producing lives that are a credit to the master to whom those lives have been apprenticed. Last week there was a funeral here, and the family hired a bagpiper to conclude the liturgy and pipe us all out. Afterwards, I asked him how he'd come to be a bagpiper. He said he'd been playing the pipes for more than 30 years. He's an IT guy by trade, but if you want to name him at his deepest level of a description of who he is, you'd say he was a bagpiper. He fell in love with the bagpipes as a teenager. He took lessons, now he gives lessons. And each summer he takes 6 weeks off to go to Scotland and compete in piping competitions around the country. To this day, he practices every day on his chanter. He listens to recordings of famous bagpipers of the past. He's played in the pipe band here at the Church of St. Michael and St. George on St. Michael's Day. He says he's not a perfect piper. He still misses a note here and there. The bagpipe is a difficult instrument to play, after all. But he is as much of a bagpiper as he could ever be. His life has been transformed, changed forever through his art. His daily routine is formed, trained in accordance with the demands of the bagpipe and its music. He's a credit to the bagpipe and what it can do for a person who dares to submit to its rather bizarre demands. He hasn't fully mastered the bagpipe, but really and truly, the bagpipe has gone a long way to mastering him. When asked not long ago by a person at a party, "What do you do for a living?" he told me, he answered, "Well, I'm a computer person much of the time, but when I'm at my best, I'm a bagpiper." I want you to take this as a parable about following Jesus and being a Christian, about being a disciple, either by grace or by choice. It is who you are when you're at your best. You're following Jesus. Amen.